Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, I'm Kyle Madsen, that's James Hamm. We're hanging out with you until noon, then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and Casey, and they'll take you up to 4 o'clock right here on ESPN 1320 and Sacramento Sports Leader. Big salute to Jiffy Lube. They sponsor the program. We love Jiffy Lube very much. I have a fantasy draft happening right now, and I think I've decided on a pick.
Oh?
But before we get to it, why don't you tell the people what we're giving away on the internet?
All right. Right now, if you go online to ESPN1320.com, we're giving away Six Flags Discovery Kingdom tickets. So ESPN has your chance to score tickets to Six Flags Discovery Kingdom.
You're damn right we do.
Just fill out the entry form and submit at ESPN1320.com for your chance to visit the thrill capital of Northern California.
Thrill cap, baby.
The prize, if you are the winner, is a four-pack of Six Flags admission tickets courtesy of Six Flags Discovery Kingdom. Amen. Let's do this.
I'm glad you didn't read the parenthetical.
No.
I thought you were just rolling and you were going to Ron Burgundy into the parenthetical.
No, I don't need a teleprompter.
Yeah, very good. I want to remind you also, Thursday, Sac State football begins right here on ESPN 1320, 4 o'clock, Sac State at San Jose State. Looking for the upset of the FBS program. Mm-hmm. All right.
We got all kinds of things.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
The pick is in, everybody.
The pick is in? What?
With the number 7 overall pick in the Dynasty Football League, Fantasy Football League, Team Kyle, because I haven't chosen a fun team name yet this season, selects Xavier Worthy, wide receiver, Kansas City Chiefs. I want a piece of the Chiefs offense.
That's right.
I just in case, maybe he stinks, but just in case he's the next Tyreek Hill, I want to make sure that he's on my team and part of my program. Deep at wide receiver right now, but there's nobody that I loved at running back to take at number 7 overall. So I went with the upside. Ladd McConkey was another player that I was considering at that spot, just to be totally transparent with everybody.
Yeah.
I think that there's going to be volume for him. I think that a Greg Roman passing game is going to feature a lot of Ladd McConkey.
Yep.
And I think he's going to be good in that system with Justin Herbert, who is an ascending quarterback in the NFL. But I went with the upside with Xavier Worthy and the Kansas City Chiefs.
That's exactly what I would have done. I got to be honest. They have a lot of issues on their receiving core, whether it's the Rashee Rice situation. Mm-hmm. He hasn't been suspended by the league yet. He may not get suspended by the league. There were some suspensions this week, but he's probably there's potential for like a 3-4 game suspension for.
That they went and signed Juju Smith-Schuster makes me think that they got wind of something.
Yeah, so.
But I still don't think, even with Juju in the mix, even if Rashee Rice is there, Hollywood Brown's already hurt.
Hollywood Brown's always hurt.
Even if Juju Smith-Schuster is in the building, I don't think that that affects Xavier Worthy's snaps or his overall workload. Or
well,
his
that
volume.
And when you get, if Hollywood Brown is healthy, he's just going to be another deep threat, which is fine. Like, I just think that Worthy is a better deep threat. And they had him run of the ball a little bit. I like it.
Yeah.
Like a little Debo stuff.
Yeah, man. Andy Reid's going to figure out the best way to use his speed. And, Xavier Worthy, now a member of the Kyle Madsen Dynasty Fantasy Football team that I don't have a name for yet. Somebody said I should have taken Jaden Daniels. Yeah, fair enough.
Fair enough.
I have so I took over this team from somebody else. I have four quarterbacks on my roster in a one quarterback league.
Mm.
But here's my issue. None of them are awesome.
No.
They all fall in the bucket of guy that you draft in the 12th round of your redraft league. And this is Dynasty, so you only pick rookies. And then you drop as many players as you draft.
Oh, so who are you dropping to pick up Worthy?
I got options.
Oh, yeah.
I got options. Let's see. Amir Abdullah. Again, because in leagues this deep, I have 32 guys here on my roster. Is that right? 32?
Oh, man.
So in leagues this deep, you just, anytime you think a player might do something, you just try and scoop them.
Mm-hmm.
So I have like Amir Abdullah's on my team. Patrick Taylor, formerly of the Packers, now of the 49ers, probably going to get cut today or tomorrow. He's on my team.
All right.
Russell Gage, Bucks wide receiver. Deron Bland.
How many
IDP,
how many
who's
team is
out
it?
For a while?
How many teams are in the league?
12.
Okay, so the Serpentine, you're not going to get a lot of options when it comes back to you.
It is a normal draft.
Oh.
Order set by standings last year.
Okay.
But then it's 1 through 12 and then 1 through 12 again.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So no Serpentine. That's interesting.
It's like a real, it's great. I have so much fun with this. The team building aspect is my favorite part. But I have four quarterbacks who all, like I said, all fall into that, like, meh, fine. Jared Goff, Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield, and Matthew Stafford. All in the like, sure. Too probably valuable just to outright drop, but not quite good enough to fetch anything substantial in any kind of trade.
Yeah.
So I just mix and match depending on matchups.
Okay.
And I don't, honestly, I'm not the biggest Jaden Daniels guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's where I landed.
Okay.
I feel good about the Xavier Worthy pick. I should probably send it in our group chat, but Luke can do that.
You might be able to just sit, and when it comes back around, there might be another...
Yeah.
Opportunity there for you to draft a quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see how things shake out.
Yeah.
In my opinion, the best way to do fantasy is in this dynasty route.
Mm. Okay.
Where I have Brandon Ayuk, for example. I just have Brandon Ayuk for as long as he plays football.
Unless you trade him or waive him.
Unless I trade him or drop him. It's fun.
All right.
Yeah. So that's what's happening. Xavier Worthy, now a member of my program. Speaking of Brandon Ayuk. Peter Schrager tweeted something last night. Peter Schrager from NFL Media.
Mm-hmm.
I think Peter Schrager wants to be a GM, and he's very plugged in around the league because I think he's trying to be in league circles. Mm-hmm. And I think for the most part is really well plugged in. Like when he does a mock draft, he does one mock draft every year, and there's always a couple of really interesting nuggets in there that show just kind of how well connected he is. He tweeted last night something about Brandon Ayuk and the Commanders. Let me grab the exact tweet. Washington GM Adam Peters just spent 7 years in San Francisco with John Lynch and was integral in San Francisco's 2020 draft. That was the draft they took Brandon Ayuk. Jaden Daniels' go-to guy at ASU in 2019, Brandon Ayuk, and 1,192 yards. Washington also now has a new third-round pick that they acquired in the Jahan Dotson trade. As much as Pittsburgh has gotten all the buzz, shouldn't Washington and San Francisco be talking? The reason this is noteworthy is because, and Schrager said to Richard Sherman when Sherman replied to the tweet, he basically said, I'm throwing stuff at the wall here. Like, I don't know anything. I'm just throwing stuff out there.
Mm-hmm.
But Mike Silver also, in a hit on a radio station in the Bay Area, also said he's not ruling out Washington. Which leads me to believe there's something brewing in Washington where people can't report it, but they're just going, hey, don't sleep on the Commanders, by the way. And, oh, hey, shouldn't the 49ers and Commanders be talking? Like, because they don't have it, like, firm enough to report 49ers and Washington in talks,
mm-hmm.
but they know that something's going on. That's what I can't shake. Like, why are the Commanders coming up from two separate places now? And maybe it's just random. Maybe it's because the Brandon Ayuk thing is now gone all the way through the preseason and people need something new to talk about.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I think anytime you see a team go out and get assets, that kind of like pops up in your head. Like, okay, wait a sec. Why are they going out there and accumulating assets right before the start of the season? Why are they trading away a wide receiver for a third round pick? Why are they like Dotson's a good player. I don't
doing
know.
Doing the Brian Windhorst finger?
Yeah, the Brian Windhorst. Why are they doing this? I mean, I get it. I get why someone might be like jumping to conclusions here. But at the same time, I want to see what is exactly the Niners, like how mm-hmm. they play this out.
Yeah.
I think the CeeDee Lamb situation hurts him.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
I would assume so anyway.
Even still, we keep talking about they just kept waiting and like and seeing all these other teams go and get these deals done. Okay. They just waited again. I don't know.
So, look, Brandon Ayuk was given permission to talk to Washington. And somebody in the chat, Guarov in the chat, says Jaden and Brandon Ayuk are really close friends as well. Right. There was all the stuff on social media with him FaceTiming with Jaden Daniels and saying they don't want me and all that stuff. But Washington was one of the four teams that Ayuk got permission to talk to, according to Matt Maiocco from NBC Sports.
Mm-hmm.
It was Pittsburgh, New England, Cleveland, and Washington. He wanted to play for either Pittsburgh or Washington. He said so in the Pivot interview with Ryan Clark. I feel like I need red string to connect all these dots.
Yeah, we need to do like a murder board.
Full blown.
Yeah.
But follow me. So he wanted to play for Pittsburgh or Washington. Niners worked out a deal with Pittsburgh, who apparently has a contract that Ayuk is happy with.
Mm-hmm.
They worked out a deal with Cleveland, but Ayuk didn't want to go there. And they worked out a deal with New England, who was ready to offer him a bajillion dollars, and he didn't want to go there. Washington has been noticeably absent from all this and apparently has not engaged in trade talks at all, which leads me to believe they don't want to go there with the contract. I don't think that so unless there was some change of heart in their building where they went, oh, hey, this is real now.
Mm-hmm.
We want to get involved. I feel like if they were going to get involved, they would have gotten involved a while ago and we would have heard about it. But the fact that Washington has just been nowhere to be found this entire process, when the entire time they could have been talking contract with Ayuk, I think there's a contractual issue where they see Ayuk's value in similar terms that the 49ers do. And Washington's going, well, we're not going to get him. If the Niners can't get him for this contract, whatever it is, then we certainly aren't. So we're not even going to bother.
Yeah, it's tough, man.
That's what I think happened. So I don't think again, unless Washington had some crazy change of heart after the preseason, I don't think they're going to come swooping in last minute and go, hey, by the way, hey, here's $35 million a year and $75 million guaranteed. I don't think it's happening.
Well, that, and I think the only way that the Niners make a trade with them, you would want Terry McLaurin back. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that, first of all, I think he'd fit really well. Like, very similar style of receiver to Ayuk.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't know that you're getting better and you'd want picks. I don't know. Why would both of these teams, like, this late in the game change?
Mm-hmm.
But maybe they do. I don't know. I like that we keep doing non-Brandon Ayuk updates.
The non-update update?
Yeah.
Hey, the latest on Brandon Ayuk, it's the same thing that everyone else has said. Thanks, guys. No guaranteed number for CD yet?
No, not that I've seen. Not that I've seen.
Interesting.
Yeah, okay. But there's usually, I don't know who the guy is that usually breaks that number.
It's
100 million guaranteed.
Fully guaranteed?
That is what the NFL website just tweeted out, NFL on Twitter. Breaking.
I am skeptical.
Yeah.
I think that's probably going to be the guaranteed for injury.
Okay.
Because 100 million, does it say fully guaranteed? Is that the wording?
No. Well, let's see. It says with $100 million guaranteed.
Yeah, I need to see the full guarantee. I got to see the structure. That's a smart guy thing to say in this scenario. James and I are waiting on the structure before
we
fully discuss the CeeDee Lamb contract.
Whether this is a good deal for the Dallas Cowboys or not.
But yeah, no, it doesn't help the 49ers for sure. Whatever number that comes in at.
Yeah.
Whatever structure that is, that I don't think it helps San Francisco.
It does help James's fantasy football team.
Yeah, that's big time for you.
We will now keep CeeDee Lamb without any question. I mean, we were going to anyways.
And that's I don't want to talk about your fantasy team as we've talked about my fantasy team all day. No. But putting aside the fantasy aspect of it for a minute, you brought something up. I think it was over the break, how your concern was less like CD not playing or going elsewhere. Your bigger concern was, hey, the longer he holds out, the slower the start is going to be.
Yeah, if he's bad for the first 3 or 4 weeks of the year and then gets hurt, which happens quite often with these situations, mm-hmm. then and I've got Puka Nacua, so I'm sure. Like, okay, should I just keep Puka? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're both young.
Yeah.
But you're like, you're really torn.
That's where, and that's, so that whole aspect of it is where I think that aspect of the Aiyuk discussion has kind of gotten, not swept under the rug, but kind of pushed to the back burner.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's just so much question about whether he's actually going to play and whether he's going to sign or whether he's going to get traded. There's a thousand moving parts.
Yeah.
And okay, so let's say he signs today. He gets a deal done today. That means he has a couple of practices this week and then three practices next week. And then he has to go play in an NFL game against a good defense.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw it last year with Nick Bosa. I did the math because somebody said something on NFL Network that didn't sound right to me. So I went and looked. That's why this info's in my head. He didn't have a sack until week three last year.
Yep.
And he didn't get to three sacks until week eight. Like the pressure numbers were okay, but you watch Nick Bosa for the first half of last year, and it's just not, it is not a defensive player of the year caliber player.
We were roasting him every single week.
Good player, but not the elite, highest paid non-quarterback in the league player that the 49ers paid. So I think that becomes, it's been a worry, certainly, but I think that becomes even more of a worry, less so with Trent Williams, I think, because A, he's played for so long, and B, he's so dominant at his position that I think as an offensive lineman, you can pretty much step in and get a few practices under your belt and be good to go. With Aiyuk, I'm less certain. And I definitely think that could be a concern for him and for the 49ers going into the year where, okay, great, Brandon Aiyuk's back, but at what percentage?
Yeah. So Aiyuk, the one distinction I'd make is that Aiyuk has been there and he's not working out. I mean, he's working out, but he's not doing on-field workouts, right? But what Aiyuk is doing, I believe, is he's in the wide receiver room. Like, he knows the playbook. He knows what's happening. Unless he's just, like, chilling, you know, like, mm-hmm. hanging out in the cafeteria, like,
yeah.
Everyone leaves and he's still sitting there by himself, like, eating Cheetos, and then and then everyone comes back, it's like, hey, what's up, man? How was the workout? You know?
Yeah.
That's always possible. That's what he's doing, but...
Do you make anything of him going to Vegas with the team?
Yeah, he's saying, I want to be here. He's saying, yeah. I want to be here, just figure it out, just pay.
That was very significant to me.
Yeah.
That he went. And again, not that that's, hey, it's signed, sealed, delivered, everything's done. But I think the optics of him traveling with the team, walking in with the team, being on the sideline during the game,
mm-hmm.
not just up in the booth. And also the optics of that versus if he hadn't traveled with the team, it's like, no, I'm staying home. That I think it's pretty significant to me and a pretty significant sign of amicability between him and the 49ers, where I do think that all the reporting has been, hey, they're really close.
Mm-hmm.
There's some hurdle to clear with guaranteed money in the final year of the deal. And that's kind of what it's going to be. So I took that as a good sign.
Yeah, I think it was. And I think he just keeps looking at them and saying, like, look, I'm your best option. And I think they know he's their best option.
Right. That's what's so frustrating about this. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. No, but I mean, that's at the end of the day, you want to be the best option for somebody.
Yeah.
And I get it. You know, like, the 49ers have to do what's best for them long term.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is always going to be a negotiation. That's where I think the NFL and the NBA are different, where it's like, man, go get your money.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like the NFL is a little different that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, guys... Like, maybe they say, yeah, you know, go ahead and get your money. But then you start having the pressure, like, hey, man, it's time to get in here.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't holdouts in the NBA, at least not anymore. There used to be years mm-hmm. ago. But when they put in the rookie salary scale,
mm-hmm.
it eliminated the holdout,
right. Basically.
Well,
with non-guaranteed money in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
like that's, and with how dangerous the sport is from a health perspective,
yeah,
you have to, I don't blame Brandon Aiyuk in this
at all,
or any player. Trent Williams, same thing. He's 36. He has no guaranteed money left. If he steps on the field today and gets hurt in a significant way, that it's ostensibly the end of his career, it's the end of his earning potential.
Yeah.
So hey, he's got one more bite at the apple. He's going to try and take it. Brandon Aiyuk, this is his first bite at the apple after his rookie contract. He's trying to make the most of it. That's awesome. But that's where, okay, maybe he's being a little bit of a pain in the ass. But if you're the Niners, just figure this out, dudes. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows. That's what's so frustrating about this. Everybody knows where this is headed. Just get it there. Whatever you got to do to get it over to the finish line, and then deal with, there's just no way that the damage that's being done now, the potential short-term damage of Ayuk being not as good out the gate, mm-hmm. the pall that this has cast over the 49ers' entire preseason, the injury potential of a player who didn't get a full offseason to work out and ramp up, all of those risks, there's no way that whatever couple of million dollars or few million dollars you're trying to save in 2028 is going to be worth it.
The number
of ways that this could go wrong for the 49ers is building by the day. And certainly if they wind up getting rid of Ayuk, then nobody's going to, in 2028, nobody's going to go, man, wish they hadn't guaranteed Ayuk that much money. That's not going to happen. No one's ever going to get mad because you paid a good player.
Yeah.
Ever. No, if they re-signed Elijah Mitchell to $25 million a year, then yeah, it's like, whoa, what is that? But there are so few downsides to giving Ayuk his money in whatever number of years he wants it. I also... Especially when you own the... Everybody knows where he's headed. He wants to be here. They want him here.
I think the other interesting thing is that every single wide receiver was eligible to get paid this summer.
Yeah.
So that's the problem. Mm-hmm. Like, you want to look at the top 10 receivers, they all got paid. Mm-hmm. I mean, Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill, CeeDee Lamb,
mm-hmm.
just keep going. Mike Evans didn't get paid, I don't think. But he's also, you know, aging.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but for the most part, like, Amon-Ra St. Brown, like, they all got paid.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you doing? Because there's, like, literally, there's a going rate. Yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, Luke, who's now just hanging out in the Jetty House, shout out to Luke.
He's now part of the family. Now, hi, Luke.
Welcome, bro. He said that he's worried that Shanahan might be one of those guys. Luke's a Bucks guy, by the way. But he said he's worried Shanahan might be one of those guys who thinks it's his system and he can just plug Pearsall in and get a close enough facsimile to Ayuk. That's a small concern for me, but if that was the case, I think they would have traded Ayuk before the draft or during the draft, where they could have gotten a mid to late first rounder for him this year.
Mm.
But the only way, from what I understand in talking people who to talk to people, from what I understand, they weren't going to make a move up. In fact, this has been reported. The only way they were going to move up is if they could get one of the top three, Marvin Harrison Jr., mm-hmm. Malik Nabers, or Roma Dunze. So if they weren't going to get into the top seven or eight or however quickly those guys went, then they weren't going to move on. So I don't know, man. It's gross.
Yeah.
I'm over it.
Yeah.
I'm over it. Just get it done. Whatever you got to do.
One way or another, just make it end.
Hopefully the CeeDee Lamb thing isn't a new wrench in the negotiations. So, all right. I have a quirky baseball thing I want to talk about.
Oh.
Because a thing is happening in baseball today that can only, I feel like, happen in baseball.
Yep.
We'll talk about that. We'll have some more 49ers. We'll get some more Kings in here for you as well. The handoff coming up in the next 15 minutes with one of D'Lo or Casey. I don't know whose day it is. I don't know. One of them would be in here.
I should probably light up the computer over there.
Yeah, it'll be fine. You can do that at the break, which is what we're hitting now on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Bring a Bucks fan into the chatty house, we start talking about Mike Evans.
That's right.
We're trying to come up with the NFL comp for Mike Evans, or NBA comp for Mike Evans. DeMar DeRozan and Paul George are the two names that came up that intrigued me the most.
Mm.
Like, Paul George just kind of feels right.
Okay.
Because I just very recently, in fact, it was on the rundown all last week and I never got to it. I just recently am just like, I'm just a Paul George guy, I've decided.
Okay. He's won you over with his, with like...
his self-awareness.
Yeah, his podcasting and everything
else.
Yeah,
he just, he a couple years ago said, I've realized I'm not a one on a title team anymore. I'm still good. I've still got a bag. But if a team is going to win a championship, I can't be the best guy on it. Wow. A Hall of Famer just openly saying that is really cool. And then he got asked by Chet Holmgren, I think on Chet's, Chet was either on his podcast or vice versa. He said, all right, final seconds, tie game. Who's getting the last shot? You or Joel Embiid? Paul George is like, that's a Nick Nurse question. Like, great. Oh. Yeah. Ask the coach.
Yeah.
Great. Perfect. Whatever the coach draws up, that's what I'm here to do. Shout out to Paul George.
That's a good coach right
there,
too.
And he's just been really good for the better part of the last decade. He's consistently one of the best guys in the league. One of the, what, 15 to 20 best guys in the league?
Something like that. Luke's calling you out here if you want to make the pick.
Wait. I can recant the pick and get cold feet, buyer's remorse. I'm sorry, Luke. I've been meaning to do that at breaks, but it's just me and James. So we have a million things going on, and I've forgotten to do that. If you could, in fact, you know what? I'll do it right now.
Oh, there it is. He's going to make the pick.
I'm making this official.
Well, that while he's making the pick, we can tee up. Me and Kyle got in a weird discussion today, and the discussion as we were building up to the show was about Joel Youngblood.
Yes. I am a big baseball guy, yep. And I had never heard of this until today.
Okay, yeah. So Joel Youngblood in 1982, he played for the Mets in a game against the Cubs and then was traded and was able to make it to, was it Philly? He was able to make it to Philly and played for two different teams in one day. Now, the A's had a situation where they traded for a reliever mid-game against a team they were playing against. Mm-hmm. Or they traded a reliever to that team, and the reliever literally walked over and switched sides, I believe. Was it?
I do not remember.
I think it's Rincon.
Ricardo Rincon, that sounds right.
Yeah.
That was the name when you first said this that popped into my head.
Yeah. Were they playing Cleveland? And
that sounds right.
And then he like strolled over like he got traded
in
like,
Moneyball,
during the game.
In Moneyball, that's who Billy Bean / Brad Pitt flies out to talk to. When he first talks to Jonah Hill's character, it's about Ricardo Rincon.
Really?
I believe. Okay. I believe that's why he was in Cleveland. I've only seen the movie once.
Yeah. It's very interesting. Yeah, it was 2002 he was traded. Yeah. But Joel Youngblood actually ended up playing for both. And then they made an 83 Fleer card with both his picture and both uniforms on the same day.
Incredible.
Yeah.
So the reason this came up this morning is because if you've not heard about Danny Jansen, this is a super fun thing. So Danny Jansen was playing for the Blue Jays when the Blue Jays played the Red Sox earlier this year, and he was batting when their game against the Red Sox got postponed due to rain. They're picking up that postponement today.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Jansen, in the meantime, was traded to the Red Sox since that game happened, and he will be catching for the Red Sox against the Blue Jays in a game that was suspended while he was batting for the Blue Jays.
Mm.
So when that game resumes, he will be behind the plate, and the guy batting will be the guy who replaced Jansen
pinch hitting
for the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Yes.
Someone will pinch hit for him.
Because he's catching for the other team now.
That's wild.
Incredible. That baseball is the only thing where weird stuff like that can happen.
Yeah,
every once in a while you'll get the quirky one. Was it Buddy Hield played 78 games last year?
79. Oh, no. How many games did he play?
He played 84 games last year?
I think it was Mikal Bridges played 83 games when he got traded.
Mm-hmm. I think Buddy did too last year.
Did Buddy? Well, so Buddy but never misses
get,
games.
But then you also get Emmanuel Sanders when he got traded to the Niners. The Broncos hadn't had their bye yet, and the 49ers had, so he wound up playing 17 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
He played every game that year, or 16, I guess. No, well, 17. He played 17 games that year.
Yeah, Buddy Hield did play 84 games last year.
Yeah. So sometimes quirky stuff, but playing for the same team in the same game, that's only baseball.
Yes.
Only baseball can deal with that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I mean, even in the NBA, a player has, I think it's 48 hours to report.
Mm-hmm.
So once a trade happens, but even once they report, they still have to clear medicals. Mm-hmm. All players have to clear medicals for both teams, mm-hmm. and then away they go.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is different. You know, I would say too, I spent yesterday, It was me and the wife, we went out and grabbed pizza at the spot, and we were sitting at the bar having a beverage and, you know, a Caprese salad waiting for her.
Of course.
We spent almost 16 minutes watching every stolen base and every home run from Shohei this season.
Hell yeah.
Major League Baseball has put out a video.
Hell yeah.
In order of every home run and every stolen base. That dude, okay, so first of all, he hit 40-40 this weekend. He's at 41-40, right?
His 40th home run to get to 40-40 was a walk-off grand slam.
Walk-off grand slam. It's wild. So, but we were watching, and you know how many times he stole a base where it was not even close?
Yeah, dude.
And he's a gigantic man. How do you not see him getting, like, leaning off first base at all? I don't understand how he steals.
He's an awesome base stealer.
But that's exactly what Jose Canseco was. Like, Canseco wasn't a great base stealer, and then he's like, oh, I'm going to go be a base stealer because I want to go get that mark.
Yeah. He was the first 40-40 guy, right?
Yeah, first 40-40. And I kind of feel like Shohei is just bored and is like, man, batting leadoff. You know, if you're going to walk me, you know what? I'm going to make you pay.
Yeah.
I'm going to steal second. And then sometimes I'll steal third.
Yeah.
And then he does a quick pop-up slide. And he is like so many times, he's already on second base by the time the catcher's releasing them. You're like, bro, how did he get there so
fast?
Ridiculous,
dude. He's amazing.
And he's 6'4". He's like a gigantic human.
I think the fact that we're existing in the same season, like what's happening right now is an iconic Major League Baseball season.
Yes.
You're getting Shohei, who's the fastest player ever to 40-40, who's going to be an MVP in both leagues in back-to-back years, and in one of those seasons he couldn't even pitch and was going to be the first full-time DH to win the MVP award.
Yeah.
While becoming the seventh member of the 40-40 club and probably the first member of the 45-45 club and potentially a 50-50 club inaugural member.
Yes. I think he's the sixth member of the... Yes, yeah, so it's Soriano, A-Rod, Canseco, Bonds, Acuna. So he's sixth.
Okay, he's the sixth member of the 40-40 club. So this is all happening. Meanwhile, in the other league, you've got Aaron Judge, two more home runs yesterday. He's up to 51.
51, just mashing.
Up to 51 with like 30 games left?
25, I think I did the math yesterday, 25 games left.
He's going to get to 60 again, comfortably.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, I think because he already got to 60 and he went through the trials and tribulations of getting to 60 and the struggle that is getting to 60, I think he's going to just go right past. Like, you're going to be like, holy smokes.
He's just going to blow through it.
Yeah.
Unless teams stop pitching to him, but you have to pitch to him because their lineup's nuts.
Because the dude behind him would have been an MVP candidate if he played for any other era.
It's ridiculous, man.
It is.
It's a historic baseball season happening right now.
Yeah, it kind of feels like, what is it, the 98 season where McGuire and Sosa...
Yeah. Yeah, both just chasing
like,
60.
Yeah, they're both chasing 60 and it's just like taking the league by storm.
Mm-hmm.
This is fun. It is fun. I mean, if you don't like Judge, like if you don't like the Yankees, that's fine. You can still respect what he's doing.
Yeah, Northern California guy.
Yeah, the same with Shohei. Like you don't have to love the Dodgers, but my goodness, man. And someone in the chat puts out the home runs that Judge hits are unreal. Watch Shohei.
Mm-hmm.
He hits line drives that are out of the park so fast that you're like, oh, that's gone.
Yeah.
Off the bat, like gone. Oh, that's gone.
And he has hit a couple of absolute nukes this year. Like he is.
Yeah.
I have so much fun. They are both stop what you're doing to watch him hit players.
Oh, totally. The one he hit in against the Astros at Minute Maid, where like there's a first deck, there's a second deck, and then there's like this walkway up above.
Yeah.
He hits it into the walkway. Yeah. You're like, how in the world is that possible?
He almost put it out of Dodger Stadium.
Yes.
To right center.
And then Colorado that has the pine trees in center field?
Yeah.
He puts it like 8 pine trees deep.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. You're just,
It was the longest home run of the year, and then Soler hit one for the Giants a couple feet further.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. What a time. What a time to be a baseball fan.
Yeah, I feel bad that like baseball, like we're in an era where baseball is just like, it's not nearly as valuable as it was before.
Mm-hmm.
And like the fact that we're spending some time on it is not for ratings at all. It's just because it's an amazing thing that we're watching and we're sports fans.
Well, it's not a couple of dudes hit their 30th home runs this weekend.
No.
it's just stuff that we've never, ever seen before. In an era where all we do is bitch about how nobody can hit.
Oh, yeah.
And you have these two guys who are putting together historic offensive seasons.
Totally. Totally. Yeah,
having a blast.
Shout I would say the Oakland A's, they're up to 56 wins. I think their preseason pick was 57.
56 and a half? 57 yeah, 50, and a half?
So they need one more in the final. What do they get? They have, I think, 21 games left.
Yeah.
21? Yeah, 21 games left. Brent Rooker did get his 30th. That
good
took
for him.
Forever.
There was a minute there where the A's had gone like a week and a half with only J.J. Blade hitting home runs.
Yeah.
It's really frustrating. Really, really annoying. They got a win against the Brewers. They avoided a sweep there last night. Like you said, a couple of wins away from surpassing their preseason win total. Shout out to the Oakland Athletics.
Who are not last place in the West.
Oh, they're back up to fourth?
The Angels are in last place, and they're actually, the A's are trying to track down the
Rangers.
The Rangers.
Wow. This is big time.
Yeah, they're only four games behind the Rangers. In the standings, they're two. They're two
they got
up.
Six games left against Texas, too.
Oh, they're two up on the Angels.
They're and they two don't, games up on the Angels?
And they don't play the Angels again.
Oh, man. Yeah. They could track down the Rangers. That'd be that would be incredible. If the A's finish third in the AL West this year.
That'd be amazing.
It would be just totally ridiculous, especially since their preseason win total was like the lowest in it wasn't history, but it was the lowest in a long time. This is like the 80s. 40 plus years, something
like that. Picked to lose 105 games.
Yeah. It's crazy. Wild. Kenny Caraway in here. Time for the handoff. What's up, Kenny?
What's going on, guys? Can I ask you guys a question? I brought this up a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And our guy, Matt George, he got upset with me. Others got upset with me. But I just want to know if you guys understand the premise of what I'm saying. It goes into you guys talking about the A's and, you know, they're potentially. You know, crazy scenario. Probably going to be fourth, maybe even fifth, but, you know, third in the AL West. I watched the A's. I think they got some solid young players. Mm-hmm. They got some good ball players. Butler, that's my guy. That's one of my favorite players to watch. I said when it was official they were coming to Sacramento, I said it's not inconceivable. Everybody agrees that Fisher is a con artist and a con man, and he's just a bad dude, right? But I said, if he really is a con artist, the A's probably will get good at the latter stages of them being in Sacramento. Because what a con man does is, his con is Vegas. Like, he's trying to sucker in Las Vegas to pay money, to do whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that, you have to give them something to con them out of their money, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I could see the last year or two in Sacramento, if they're really leaving, him keeping the good young players, spending a little money. And the premise of that is, look, Vegas, look what I'm doing. I'm a changed man. Give me your money. All you residents of Las Vegas, give me your the PSLs and all this other stuff. Because look, I'm a changed man. Look at this team I've got coming to Las Vegas.
So I have two things with this. One, John Fisher is not that calculated. He's just not.
Okay.
Secondly, if he was going to do that, he should have been doing it now, because he still has not secured the funding to begin building that stadium.
Still.
So if that was the goal, if he was trying to sucker people out of money, he should have been investing in the team many moons ago. I don't think that once they secure the funding, I think they're going to be fine getting people to buy tickets initially and all that jazz.
I don't think they will.
They got it. The thing is if that was the calculation, if his big long con was, I'm going to pretend to invest in the team, but then he should have been doing it now, because he's having trouble getting the money that he needs just to get a freaking stadium, much less get butts in the seats.
I understand that. I get what you're saying. I think it's a little early to start the con. I think because you still got, like, you're going to have
to. You got to do, because you don't have a stadium.
I understand, but you're going to, and he's cheap. He's a tightwad. He's going to, if that's the case, he's going to have to pay for 4 or 5 years. He don't want to do that. And maybe that's where you talk about, like, he's not that calculated. Like, the long term, you're probably mm-hmm. right, but he don't want to pay for 4 or 5 years. He want to pay for, like, 2 years.
Yeah.
And then like, have that. Yeah. Oh, look what I did the last 2 years, get people to buy the season tickets in Vegas. And then when mm-hmm. he gets to Vegas and he's got the money, then it goes back to how things were.
I think he's already in a situation where the natural progression of a team is pretty solid for him. Mm-hmm. Right, he's got a bunch of young hitters that are coming up. He's got players at almost every position, like, that are solidified, that are young, that are, you're not going to pay very much the next couple of years in Oakland, in Sacramento. And I know there's some rumors coming out about, like, these exorbitant prices for A's tickets mm-hmm. in Sacramento. I mean, first of all, it's a 14,000 seat building, mm-hmm. and you're talking about Major League Baseball. So if you're gonna have to actually jack the prices up, because it is going to be supply and demand. I don't agree with it, but it's supply and demand. I mean, there's only going to be so many seats that are available for a game. But also, I think just, like, he can stumble into a really good team just by letting this thing progress as it is. You know, again, they've got young players that people like Lawrence Butler, Zach Geloff, they've got, you know, Jack Wilson's son coming up mm-hmm. at third base.
Jacob?
Yeah, Jacob Wilson. They've got Soderstrom, who might develop. They've got the kid they just drafted that is just flying through the minor leagues.
Kurtz.
Kurtz is already in Double A, and I mean, he had a 1500 OPS mm-hmm. in Single A, like, coming out of college. Mm-hmm. They're like, what in the world is happening here? Like, they had mm-hmm. to move him up so fast. So, like, it looks like they actually have something. They're going to have to pay for pitching, mm-hmm. right? But overall, I think we might get to see good baseball in Sacramento.
This is where I agree with you. I don't think John Fisher maneuvered the board to make it this way. I think this is just the natural progression of the A's, mm-hmm. where they're good for a couple years, they're good for that. This year reminds me of the 2017 year. Mm-hmm. I've said it on the Green and Gold pregame show, where you saw Matt Chapman, you saw a little bit of Matt Olson, where you start to see the vision of what this team could be. And then they let those young players go out there and compete and be really good. And then when they get too expensive, they ship them out and they begin the cycle again. I think Sacramento could be catching that upswing
mm-hmm.
where you are catching this group of young players, all the guys James just named, you're catching those guys being the ones that get the A's back to winning next year. Maybe it's 80 games. Mm-hmm. But then the next year, hey, look at that. They're in the wild card hunt. And then they're in the wild card hunt and playing for the division in the last couple of years out here in Sacramento, just by the natural progression of how the A's team built.
Yeah. And mind you, I don't know if that's what he would do at all. I'm just saying, sure. Like, people call him a con man. That's the move of a con man, right? Like, oh, look, I've changed, sucker you into something, and then sell you on a hope and a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And that, when you get to Vegas,
I could see Sacramento being the one who's getting conned here for sure, because I think that that's where, like, even if the deal falls through in Vegas, yeah, they're going to be here. Like, there's a lot of people here in Sacramento who believe that. And I know, like, there's also, like, the buzz from the Bay Area, oh, it'll go up for grabs and all this stuff. It's like, come on now. I mean, this thing is going one way at this point. It's either Vegas or Sacramento, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I've always thought that if I was John Fisher and I was a jerk and pretty spiteful,
I'm saying
it would happen this way. There's no way I would sell to anybody in the Bay Area. There's no way.
He's selling to whoever's giving him the most money.
I could find a lot of money elsewhere. Like, that's just, like, mm-hmm. my thinking. Like, as contentious as this has been, and mm-hmm. everybody saying everything they've said, there's no way I'd sell to anybody in the Bay Area. No way.
Well, that's where having a good commissioner. Yeah.
Oh, that's the other thing. A leader of the sport.
Bless him.
Would say, like a Adam Silver in the Clippers situation. Like, no.
David Stern. Yep.
David Stern. Like, no, this is what you're going to do. What's the Clippers guy? I'm drawing
Steve Ballmer.
No, oh, yeah. the
oh, Donald Sterling.
Donald Sterling.
Oh,
yeah. This is what you're going to do, Donald Sterling. I don't care mm-hmm. what you think you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's happening.
Well, he did the same with the Maloofs. Yeah. He did the same exact thing. I mean, even like Chris Hansen tried to jack up the rate right at the last second to mm-hmm. mess with Sacramento, and he said no. Like, the bidding's over, and you lost. Go.
And that's where Major League Baseball has dropped the ball in such a major way in this particular situation is the lack of leadership. And in a lot of cases, Manfred being in cahoots with a guy like John Fisher.
It's kind of wild.
He can't. Fisher can't execute what he's been able to execute without the quote-unquote leader of all this signing off on all of this, which is crazy.
It's crazy. Insane.
I got to ask you this. Has the Aaron Judge and Shohei, like, magic over the last couple of weeks, has it drawn you back into baseball at all?
All rise. I was already tapped in because of the Giants.
Big Yankees guy?
The Yankees are my Knicks. I like the Yankees. I'm a Giants fan always, first and foremost, but I like the Yankees. I like the Yankees. So, yeah, I like Aaron Judge. I like Juan Soto. Now they got my boy Jazz Chisholm over there. I like what he does. You know, I like Stroman as well. I've always liked the Yankees. So, I mean, those two are incredible. Aaron Judge is out of this world, man. And really, I was looking yesterday. There are some races, some quote-unquote races for divisions and stuff like that. But the way baseball is set up now, September doesn't mean the same. It's kind of just, let's get to October, and that's going to be fantastic. I love playoff baseball.
Yeah, I can't wait. Yeah. It's going to be a ton of fun. Yeah. What do you guys got coming up?
Man, just recapping the weekend. There was a lot that went on over the weekend. Sabonis's camp and some of the things he had to say. Mm-hmm. College football was back. I love that. I can't wait for this weekend. And the WNBA had one hell of a game on Sunday morning.
That was extremely entertaining.
Yeah.
Really, really good hoops out in Chicago. D'Lo and Casey are coming up next. James and I are done for today. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Salute to everybody in the chatty house. Appreciate you guys today. Appreciate you bearing with me while I did a fantasy draft live on the air. that means a lot. D'Lo and Casey coming up next. James and I are back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Until then, drink water and be nice, people. Bye.